Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
And I can't wait. And I do think that while there is great excitement, you do have to understand everybody's going to want results right away. You do have to understand that this is not going to be an easy game, not going to be an easy opponent. And while the expectations and excitement can be through the roof, he's a rookie quarterback. And by the way, even if he has a great game on Sunday, the expectations could be that maybe he struggles next week. This is the beginning of not a Giants run, but the beginning of the evaluation of the future, potential future franchise quarterback.
Yeah, there's no doubt about this. This is going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. You know, Eli didn't fare too well when he made his debut. We all remember that. Couple of picks, didn't win the game. You know, to me, one of the best emotions as a sports fan is hope. I mean, because if you really think about it, too many of our sporting dreams are very quickly dashed with the reality of what it might be. Now, I think that we all think that Jackson Dart is emotionally ready. I think we all think he just seems very calm, very cool, very in control. I think we all think he's got enough physical talent to make this thing work here. But what makes us even a little more unique is that you think about, like, you know, whether it was Zach coming in with a rookie head coach. You've got Dart. Not that he's going to process this, I hope not, necessarily, but he's going to, at some point during this run, feel the weight of the aggravation of the fan base with the head coach. And, you know, that's going to be a very, very tough thing. Hopefully it's not, but it could be a very tough thing for him to separate and just focus on going out there and letting his skills shine, because he's got a lot of talent.
But don't you think that there's a large portion of either media members or the fan base that is relying, even if it's subconsciously, relying on Jackson Dart to be the quote-unquote savior based on his ability and potential and his attitude and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say? Okay. I definitely do. Yeah, no question.
But if we've learned anything in the NFL, it's not just about the quarterback. So both can be true, where you could say, well, look at Jackson Dart, man, the talent and his attitude, and it's going to be exciting to watch him play. Yeah, but come Sunday, if the offensive line isn't doing their job and they can't run the football and the defense isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, which, by the way, like, that's happened continuously for the Giants for a decade. Well, then how's Jackson Dart going to thrive? But the best example is right in front of us with Daniel Jones. For how many years did we say Jones just ain't it? Oh, Jones got potential. Oh, he's not getting any help. So I don't think now's the time to ignore the other parts of the Giants team that has to help the young quarterback. It's not just about the quarterback and throwing him out there as the savior.
Yeah, I don't think it's about ignoring them. I think it's from the organization's perspective, it's about working around those deficiencies, which we know are very real. And that's where Kafka's got to do a good job, call the right plays. That's where Dable's got to come up with a game plan here. You got to work around the deficiencies. They are not a good team. We know that. Now, sometimes they look a little bit better than other times, but in total, they are just a bad franchise until proven otherwise. The O-line's been spotty. The defense, you know, maybe not quite what we thought. And obviously, it's just very difficult to score points for this football team. So I think there's two elements at play here. There's the undeniable juice, and we mentioned Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones had some talent. He was tough. You know, I think we all respected his willingness to take a hit, but Daniel Jones didn't bring any juice. Like, he didn't have that vibe. He didn't have that aura. He was just a vanilla, you know, right down the middle, pretty boring guy who just did his job. And I don't mean that as a diss. The difference with Dart is that this young man's coming with a different energy that I think is going to, I hope, is going to really resonate with the locker room. So, it you know, and once that starts to happen, you could start to look a little differently. But if they have him drop back 30-something times conventionally, he's going to get his head handed to him. They better draw up some creative stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to use the RPO and all that stuff. And I think they'll have some success with it and maybe move the ball a little bit more consistently. But I worry about, like, everyone's talking about the moxie and his attitude. Yeah, that's great. Well, what happens when he gets beat a little bit? What happens when he throws a couple of picks? Like, we don't truly learn about somebody until they go through adversity. And that may not happen this week. It may happen in, you know, week 7, week 8, whatever. Like, this is just the beginning of an exciting, long process. But I guess my bigger concern is less about what Jackson Dart is. And we don't know. Nobody knows. You could say you know. I could say I know. Fans could say it. Dable could say it. Nobody knows. He hasn't been out there in the NFL yet throwing a pass. So we need to see what he can do continuously. Succeed, fail, all of that stuff. My bigger concern is that I forget who made the decision, because that was a whole nother part of this. Is that is this the right situation to be transitioning from veteran quarterback to the future franchise, you know, future franchise quarterback of this team? Is this team in the right position for that to be successful? And when you have a lame duck head coach, a team that's 0-3, a team that doesn't do anything well, or at least consistently well.
A disgusted fan base.
Yeah, a fan base that's ready to pounce.
Yeah.
Those, to me, are bigger issues than Dart himself that would make me concerned about this not being the right position to put any quarterback in a place to succeed.
I agree. I wouldn't be playing him this weekend, but that's, you know, that's no longer the conversation. When we talked about this earlier in the week, and you got the sense when Dable was non-committal to what he was going to do, you were a little less convinced than me. I didn't know if it would be Winston, but it just felt like the change was coming, and here we are.
I didn't think they were this. I thought they were going to stick to the plan a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, but this is where desperation and being embarrassed and all the things that we factored into this decision, this is where, unfortunately, on some level, it usurps the level of readiness for the young man. I mean, I don't know how clear this is the problem, Sal, and this is what worries me downstream. I don't know how clear the minds have been at that Giants building as they came to this decision. Now, maybe I shouldn't pluralize it. Maybe it is just a singular mind. Maybe it truly is Brian Dable saying, you know what? I wanted this guy. I'm tired of being lumped in with this other stuff. This is my last stand. He's the one I wanted. I'm going to show everybody that I got it. And hopefully that happens. But there is nobody that can convince me, if it was just a Dable decision, that there wasn't some sort of infiltration of desperation, or however you want to frame it, because he's got to save his own ass.
Yeah, and my thing is not even about whether Dart's ready or not. It's about, is the team built properly for him? Like, there are two layers to the question. Well, is Jackson Dart ready? Are you throwing him to the wolves too soon? You know, week 4, you didn't sit and learn enough. He could be ready to go. Is the rest of the team ready to go? That's where I would say definitively, based on what we've seen for years, and even in this year, it's not. And that's why I don't think there's any difference in starting him week 4 versus week, you know, 7 or 8. Like, there's, you need, if you're going to make him sit, let him sit. Try to build the foundation, then bring him in. It's not just about getting a young quarterback mentally ready or physically ready to play at the next level. It's about you building the foundation for him to succeed. And nobody can argue that after 3 weeks, the foundation has been built.
After 3 years, the foundation hasn't been built. Well, 4 years with this staff. No, that's the most important aspect of this, but at least pertaining to Sunday, it's now irrelevant. It's immaterial. Whether the foundation's right, whether he's truly ready, it almost doesn't matter. Caution to the wind, training wheels off, he's under center. See, I think the next evaluation, and hopefully it doesn't come to this, hopefully it comes, and I think he's going to play fairly well. I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed. I'm not saying he's going for 3 bills with 3 touchdowns, but I think we're going to see plays where we're like, okay, this is going to be interesting, and he at least shows early signs of maybe being the guy. But if that's not the case and it's the opposite, what I think is going to be incredibly problematic is if he starts to drown, whether it's, I don't mean necessarily in one game, but over the course of 3, 4, 5 games, Dable told us he's the quarterback for the rest of the year, which I think is idiotic.
I like that. Why not? He's the quarterback. What's the difference?
Well, he's the quarterback now, but there's levels of damage that you can do to him. So I do, now, listen, Dable could change his mind. He could say that we're going to get him ready, as he did the other day, to be the quarterback for the rest of the year. And he goes out there and he's got three touchdowns and nine picks and three fumbles. And he's getting hit and he's a little bit banged up. And they just save him. They intervene. He very well can change his mind and do that. But it didn't seem like he's very amenable to doing that. And that worries me.
Yeah, see, to me, I like that at least. He's our quarterback. Here we go. We're riding out. And you can't make that move if you have any hesitation. And by the way, if Dart does struggle to the levels you're talking about, Dable's not going to be around to make that decision.
He will this year, though.
If Jackson Dart is as bad as you're saying, to a point where they got to consider benching him, which to me is like not even a thought process. He's the quarterback. My bigger concern would be exactly what happened to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones could have some success. He did win a playoff game. Look at what he's done in Indianapolis. And there were some good, times here with the Giants. The talk was always offensive line isn't good. Doesn't have enough weapons. Improper coaching. Blah 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 blah. Those things that all hurt Daniel Jones are still in play with the Giants.
Yeah, you don't have Saquon to bail you out.
Well, they do have Malik Nabers. I can say, you could say, okay, well, the offensive line might be healthier with Thomas now and that, whatever it may be.
Runyon.
Okay, so the offensive line, a little bit better.
It's a little bit better. But
they don't have a running game. They do have a legit number one wide receiver, but is that really going to be that big of a difference as it pertains to developing Jackson Dart versus the way that they couldn't develop Daniel Jones? I'm not so sure. I'm just saying that those things, to me, that hurt Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones wasn't great himself either here, but all those other factors that led to Daniel Jones having to go elsewhere still could impact Jackson Dart, even if Jackson Dart has the potential to be a great quarterback.
Yeah, and just for the record again, I think he's going to be pretty good this week, and I think he's going to be pretty good this year. I think he's going to be more positive than not. I'm just saying, if he doesn't play well, that's where you and I would splinter off a little bit here, because I'm not a believer in just making it worse. But we'll see. I also don't think, and this is not even really worthy of getting into today necessarily, but if it's really bad, I still don't know that they would fire Dable during the year, because to me, even if he deserves it, because the lack of structure, like what happened with the Jets last year, it could actually get worse. I know that that seems almost unfathomable, but I don't think there's anybody in the building that's prepared to take over if they fire Dable. So I think that they would probably let him ride it out. Hey, there's nothing in sports, even a young pitcher like McClain or even, Doc. Well, I mean, Doc was different, but whomever it might be, I think the most exciting thing on our sports radar is when we have a new quarterback that's got some hype, that's got some talent, and the team and the fan base needs it, and this is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully he plays well, but I think he's going to.
Today's Giants preview is brought to you by New York OASAS. Don't know, don't judge. Turn the page on stigma. Learn more at OASAS.ny.gov. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Tony is calling from
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Staten Island. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. Happy to lead off. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I had a call after the first few words, Sal, that this is about the evaluation of Dart or the evaluation of this player. We're three games into this season. Okay? We have a chance to become 2-3. We have a historically soft team in the Chargers coming in for a 1 o'clock start, mind you, and we have the Saints, which is perhaps a winnable game, and to at least get us to 2-3. And you have over 25 years of quarterback experience on this team between Wilson and Winston. And I understand if you don't want to play Wilson. I get it. I fully get it. And then I don't understand how you not play Winston. This team is not ready for success right now. and definitely not ready for success with a rookie quarterback.
But then, are you? I'm a little confused. Are you more concerned with trying to win games this year from a Giants fan perspective, or seeing your future quarterback?
It's always about trying to win games.
Yeah, but Tony, they're 0-3. They can't win games. Like, you could talk about, oh, is this a winnable game against the Chargers? It was supposed to be a winnable game against the Chiefs. How'd that work out? And then what happens after the Saints in a couple of weeks? Then what? Is it winnable to beat the Eagles twice and the Broncos?
Let's try to get to 2-3. And if we don't get to 2-3, then it's Eagles, Denver, Eagles, Frisco, Green Bay, Detroit. I get it at that point. I get it. But you don't even get – that's so unfair to the fans. What they're doing. I don't get it, man. I just don't understand why they're not trying to.
You do get it, Tony. You do. I think you're just choosing to ignore the reason. And a good call. Appreciate that.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I get it. There's obviously very different opinions on this matter. This doesn't have to be uniform for everybody. I think it's a little bit early. I do. But it's not, it should not be about wins for me. It should be about the ultimate growth of Jackson Dart. And to me, there was a way to do that where maybe you gave yourself a chance to win. Maybe if Jameis Winston had a big day, I would have pulled Russell Wilson. He was awful last game. I couldn't run him back out there. I would have played Winston and maybe given Winston 2-3 weeks or even a month and then go to Dart. But it's not about wins. I don't know. For some fans, it is. I understand that. But it shouldn't be because they are so far away from being championship relevant.
But by the way, they can make the argument, the Giants, that Jackson Dart gives them the best chance to win.
That's true.
Like, Jameis Winston's a pick six machine. I like Jameis Winston and his personality. He stinks.
What is he on the team for? To lead the huddle and cheer? Whatever. Why is he here?
He stinks. So, but I would agree in the notion of this year, like, you don't want the unfortunate reality. Nobody from the Giants' perspective wanted to have the unfortunate reality of their team is not any good and they're not going to win any games this year. They thought they were better than they were. Fans bought into the hype and they started to believe that they were better than they were. And the results after 3 weeks, they should not be 0-3. They are 0-3. Like, losing to the Cowboys in a game that there's no way you should ever lose that game. The Cowboys stink, not to mention how many points the Giants scored. Can't lose that game. You did. Chiefs were vulnerable at home. Tight game. You lost it. Again, you lost the game. Not to mention Washington week one. 14-6 in the fourth quarter. Like, they're taking moral victories, the Giants. 0-3 yet again, which has happened forever. So they're not a good football team. And to me, I never believed they were going to be a good football team. It was always going to be about developing Jackson Dart. It was always, in my mind, just a matter of when that was going to be the case. Week four, I did not anticipate this being the case, but you can make the case. Dart gives them the best chance to win. And they believe that the combination of having him try to help them go win games while developing is the best thing for the franchise.
Listen,
right now,
if the Giants were in a better spot organizationally and, like, Gettleman wasn't a mess and the end of Reese wasn't a mess and the coaches weren't a mess and the ownership wasn't out to sleep for the last 10 years, basically, well, then maybe you could have had a situation where they could have scrapped together some wins like they did with Kurt Warner. And it would have been more of a seamless, even though, and again, we talked about this yesterday. Yeah. I know it bothered some of the veterans because Tiki's talked about this. It was never anti-Eli. It was like, hey, we've got a finite window to win, and we're winning with Kurt. Guy's an MVP in the league here. Why are we going to pull the plug here, even though everybody knew that Eli was eventually the guy because of the draft status there? So there was a little, not discord, but maybe confusion with that Giants locker room.
Also, BT, rookies weren't the same as they are now.
Yeah, meaning they're more prepared now or less prepared now?
Now it's like pre-2008, let's say, rookies weren't coming in and lighting up the league in their first year or their first go-around.
Yeah, because the college game was very different than the pro concepts. And as a matter of fact, a lot of the college concepts are now going to Sunday rather than the other way around. Right. It's actually pretty interesting. And somebody like Jackson Dart has 45 career college starts, which is a lot of snaps at Ole Miss, in the SEC. So I think that he's ready, but ideally it would have been nice to pump out a couple of wins and then make the decision a month from now, but the Giants organizationally aren't good enough to get wins, and here we are.
Brian is in Northport. What's up, Brian?
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. None of us do. Maybe the kid lights it up. Maybe he sees ghosts. I don't know. But all I know is what Brian Daboll did, whether he knows it or not, and I think he does, is he put his head on the chopping block. Because this is it. I was a huge Daboll supporter. I can't stand the guy anymore, and I don't think he's it. I mean, what have we looked at the last 5 years? Well, we got one playoff game. The press conferences are insufferable. He can't answer a question to save his life. He treats us like, as fans, like we're morons. I can't take it. And this is it for him. Well, and he knows it.
Well, this is it, Brian, and thank you for the call. Now, remember, it can turn. If Jackson Dart is who everybody wants him to be and the little flashes that we saw in preseason or whatever it may be, then the way that we all look at Brian Daboll can completely change. It's not going to be in 1 week, though. It's going to take some time here. I understand being frustrated with Daboll and thinking that it's over for him, but this is really the beginning of the potential future with the quarterback or the beginning of the end for the head coach.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.